Hey, this is Stelly Efty.
And this is Heaton Shaw. And on today's episode of the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about how to cultivate a bias towards action.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life. And hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
We want you to do your best.
And as many of you probably already know, if you've listened to more than just this episode of the Startup Chat, many of you have listened to many from what we hear, from the feedback we get. Stelly and I have an almost automatic bias towards action. And so we wanted to talk about this because we feel like we haven't really doubled down on it and kind of talked about it. We've talked about a lot of things like how we started the podcast. And, you know, I've even mentioned how I think Stelly definitely inspired us to start this podcast. And we did it literally right away. Within the same coffee meeting, we walked over to his place and did it. And this is really the start of how even this podcast started. So I think this is a great topic to talk about. And I know, Stelly, you kind of came up with it. So I'd love to hear if anything inspired you because, you know, we like getting inspired by things. So
yeah.
I'm assuming something did. So bring it.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You know what it was? So I traveled a little bit around the world in the last 2 weeks. I was in Belgrade in Serbia. I was in Berlin in Germany. And I was in Mexico City just before coming back home. And one theme that kind of developed itself was that a lot of the startups that I was meeting, a lot of the advice that I gave at the end kind of boiled down towards you guys need to take more action, move faster, be more ruthless about the way you like. A lot of these startups, they were describing to me their plans and what they were, the ideas they had and the things they're trying to test and the things they're trying to figure out. And the common theme was that I almost every time I felt like, why is this plan lacking, you know, their thinking was lacking a stronger bias towards action. And it was like, it seemed to me too slow. It seemed to me too much in the theory. It was like, why can't we just get something done right now? Let's go out. Let's talk to 5 users. Why do you have to build this whole feature? How can we just, you know, create a pop over and see how many people would click this thing and get some data before we make any decisions? Why do, like, I came back to this theme. So I thought no better person to talk about this than you. And I felt like this is just something that the more people cultivate a bias towards action, especially as entrepreneurs in the startup world, a lot of times the better entrepreneurs, the better the results they're going to be able to generate. So I wanted to talk to you about this. How did you got to where you are? How can we help other people cultivate that bias towards action, take more action, take better action, take faster action? That's kind of what inspired the topic for today's podcast.
Yeah, I mean, there's a massive brand out there that was created on this concept of a bias towards action. And, you know, I'm going to call out Nike.
Yep.
You know, just do it. So, you know, just do it. The folks, I think, in Boston have this thing called JFDI. Just fucking do it.
Just fucking do it. There
you go. You know, there's GTD, get things done, which actually gives you a process, which I don't think is the same as a bias towards action. It's super interesting that there's these things out there that should inspire you to just get it done. You know, I think defining a bias towards action is literally like, instead of ruminating on things and, you know, getting either emotional or debating too much, the way you make progress in life is actually just doing more things and taking action on these things. One of the things I've learned that really helped me is that I think people are actually quite different. And there's, you know, a number of personality types. And I know both you and I have studied things like this, whether it's hypnosis or the geekiness I have around personality tests and understanding humans. And things like that, it really starts with understanding what gets you to take action. So in my case, the thing that gets me to take action, which I'm pretty sure is different than you, is when I have some inspiration that motivates me. I would have said it differently maybe a couple years ago. Right now, I would say I just need some spark, and it's usually not my own spark. So it's usually me reading something or talking to someone or wanting to do something with somebody. And that goes back to how we started this podcast. I wouldn't have done this alone. And the reason is I had no inspiration. I had no reason. And, you know, we have in a way, we have a really weird podcast where we don't bring on guests and we just talk to each other. And I think without you specifically, and your motivation to do it, I would not have been as motivated. For me, that's my pattern. For example, a lot of the businesses I've started in the past, and even currently, I want to do with somebody else and somebody who's an equal partner. And if it's not like that, I'm less motivated to do it. And I don't know, you know, I'm sure I could change that about myself, but it's something I like about myself and it makes things easier for me. So when it comes to a bias for action, to me, it has a lot to do with you yourself understanding what causes you to take action. So I'm damn sure that you're different than me. So I'd love to hear your side of that.
Yeah, I love that. And you know what? That actually makes me think that we should talk about this because I'm not that different in that regard, but it just feels like I do this in different ways. So I've noticed this pattern in myself as well, where there's certain areas in my life that I know that I'm not going to be the driving factor, right? I'm not going to be the person that's initiating a lot of action or a lot of things in a specific type of field. But because of that, I've picked friends and people in my life that make that happen and where I can just, you know, I'm a happy Robin to them being Batman at something. So there's a lot of things, travel, for instance, like when it comes to traveling to new places, there's just a few friends that I'll try to make sure they're in this city or in this place when I'm there, because I don't like to research the city and go to all the places and find the coolest restaurants and meet new people. Like, I don't like to organize all of this, but I always find somebody close to me, a friend or somebody that's really great at that. And then I just benefit from it. And I'm a very willing participant and cheerleader to that person organizing whatever, you know, a sailing trip or something crazy like that. And there's different people in my life that have tendencies that I appreciate, but I don't have. So I keep them close because they create certain adventures or they create certain things in my life that I would not do myself, right? But I want to have to experience. Slightly different from what you said, but this is something I've noticed in myself, more in my personal life, funny enough, than in my business ventures. But it makes a ton of sense. And we, you know, I've noticed this in you. You're really good at collecting humans that inspire you to participate and start businesses and do certain things.
Yeah. We're actually very similar, but I think probably with a different framework, right?
Yeah, it seems so.
So that's pretty fascinating. you almost bring these people around you, and then you're happy to like push things along, right?
Yep.
In my case, I won't even necessarily consciously bring these people around me, but when I see an opportunity, I'm definitely happy to dig into it, right, and feel it out. I think another thing I wanted to say about this is like not everyone's like you or I, right? And even us, we have slightly different takes with probably one framework still, which is the other person is what's really helpful in getting us to do something.
Yeah.
Right. And taking actions. Like for me, like I've construed that to be like, you know, if I get an email, it's about somebody else and I just want to help them. So I'll respond to it as fast as I can. These days, my email definitely backlogs more because I've got other things that I'm doing as well, but a bunch of them, but like that's my bias. Right. And so even today, like there's a priority list I have in my head. And if those set of folks or categories of folks email me, I'm responding right away to them. And that goes back to, you know, they sent me an email. I need to respond to them and get them moving. And that's my bias for action, which is how can I help that other person, at least in the small things, like when it comes to email? Because I get a lot of questions about, you know, why are you so fast at email?
Yeah.
Right? And why do you have such an inbox zero attitude about it? Versus letting, you know, 1,000 emails in there and then claim bankruptcy. Because for me, claiming bankruptcy would be like, I failed everybody, you know, and that sucks. But again, people aren't like that, right? Like I know a few folks who, you know, are very successful that I can literally count the days till when they're going to respond to an email I send them, regardless of what the importance of the email is. For example, I've had one person, super, you know, successful founder from many people because his company, you know, makes a ton of money. And it's big, but I can tell you every time I've emailed him, and I don't email him often, but 30 days, exactly on the 30-day mark somehow, he emails me back.
Interesting.
Right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? Like that's just on mark, right? And again, I think he has a bias for action, but in email, it's definitely a delayed one, but it's very on the mark. And I don't know how he does it or what the mark is, but every time I've emailed him half a dozen times, and every time it's literally 30 days. And so he's probably got some system going on. I have no clue. And it's not, and I don't think he read my email till the 30 days later, which is fascinating too.
Yeah.
That's my theory. So I think the bias for action is such a big deal, but it really starts with like, what are things that get you to take action and really really thinking through that in your life. And I've rarely seen people do that.
That's so interesting. You know, I think that, you know, that if you think of like the very fundamental kind of levers that motivate any type of action, there's just, and you can bracket a lot of, make this a lot more granular, but on a very high level, it's either moving away from pain or moving towards pleasure, right? There's in behind almost every action, there's something that we try to either avoid or something we're trying to get, right? And unfortunately, I think, you know, or biologically, there was the stronger motivator has always been the moving away from things that we want to avoid, right? So pain is a much stronger motivator than pleasure. And I tell people that, you know, if I told anybody here, I'm going to give you $1 million if you run 200 kilometers right now, almost nobody would start running. But if I put a gun to the head of somebody you love and I say, you run 200 kilometers or I shoot, nobody's going to go through the, like, is this really realistic? Is this going to happen or not? You're just going to start running. If the pain is strong enough, if you're afraid enough, you're going to take pretty massive action. And hence why I think that a lot of people, the reason why they don't take as much action is because the bigger motivator in their life is probably trying to avoid rejection, failure, emotional or physical pain. And if like fear is kind of a main thing that drives your decisions and drives as main motivator for what you do and what you don't, you will more likely than not take less action, I think. And when I look at people, I mean, some people stress themselves out and take a lot of action or have this like fear of missing out or this panic that they're not going to get rich or they're not going to get famous or they're not going to get big. And that can be a big motivator for people to take a lot of action. But I don't know. I feel like for me, that was probably part of it growing up, was more of a like chip on the shoulder, you know, having gone through a lot of adversity and then trying to prove myself and like coming from that kind of an angle. But as I've matured and as I've experienced more and more things in life today, I find that almost the only way for me to take any kind of action is out of inspiration, what you call the spark, something that inspires me, something that motivates me. But also, and I want to talk about that for a second, you know, a lot of times, you know, I don't know, there's a Stephen King quote that says like, you know, most of the people sit around waiting to be inspired before they start writing. And us pros, we just write, you know, independent from, I butchered this quote, but independent from if we're inspired or not, we just start fucking writing every day, right? And that's another thing, like to me, in my past, we've talked about consistency, I think, I only took action when I was really inspired to, when I was really like feeling like it. And then I had times where I didn't feel like doing something, I felt depressed, or I felt tired or something like that. And I would just not do it. And today I've just learned to take action, especially take action when I don't feel like it, because that is kind of, that usually creates a much bigger spark and then makes me take more and more and more action. And I've talked about this like internal mantra of saying, oh, fuck it, do it anyways, even if you don't feel like it. And funny enough that you mentioned Nike earlier in the episode, I had a guy that actually did the Nike logo and it just, instead of saying Nike, it's a Stelly, and then below it just, fuck it, just do it.
That's awesome.
And I think he put it as a poster in his office. I told him to send it to me.
Even more awesome.
So this, I don't know why this has helped me so much, but this has helped me so incredibly much, because back in the 10 years ago, Heath and I was like, oftentimes a victim of my own emotions, right? If I felt fearful or if I had doubt or if I felt depressed or I felt whatever, tired, I would just not take action out of those kind of bad emotional states. And today I've learned to take action despite these feelings, and it's just allowed me to accomplish a lot more and be a lot more consistent just by learning to say that I can do this, although I really don't feel like it, it doesn't matter. And if I do it poorly or if I do it depressed, or if I do it fearfully, it doesn't matter. Just do it. Do it while feeling shitty versus waiting for you to feel amazing or perfect or ready before you take action. That has made a huge difference for me.
I really like that. I mean, I think it's easy to get stuck in paralysis, right? And that's like a big part of why people don't take action. They get paralyzed and don't realize that they're paralyzed, right? So if you, what I would say is, you know, in any moment, you can probably easily assess the things that you're having friction or having anxiety over doing, and really feel into that and figure out why does that exist, and is it something you should keep resisting or something that you actually should take some action on. For myself, like on a daily basis, I can come up with things that I'm resisting. All of us can, right? And the whole trick is, and I love your framework around it, the whole trick is to basically make sure that the important things that you're resisting, you actually address. Otherwise, they turn into much more important things or bigger problems if you want to take that approach. Yeah.
You know, one thing that I've been thinking about since I've talked to so many startups in the last few days was that, like, I asked myself, was I always like this? And the truth is, I wasn't. Like, I can remember back 10 years ago when I went, you know, 10, 15 years ago, 15 years ago when I started my first businesses, I was not as action-oriented as I am today. I do think that it's part of my personality, but I do think that I cultivated that part. I was not always like this. When I thought of, like, when I asked myself, what happened in the last, like, 10 years to make me a lot quicker on the trigger of taking action, you know, I think that a big part of this was realizing that the only truth is, you know, the only way to know what works and what doesn't is to generate results and to expose your ideas and your thoughts to truth and to reality, which can never be, you know, in your office or in your home or in the brainstorming discussion. And kind of I've learned over time that the longer, like, I've learned not to say this is a good idea or a bad idea, just to say this is an interesting idea, an idea we should test, right? And how can we test this really quickly? Versus 10 years ago, you told me something, I would have said, oh my God, this is an amazing idea. This idea is going to be huge. This is going to make such a big difference. You'll never hear me say these words. I'm pretty sure you wouldn't either, because I don't fucking know. Like, I know I need to test it and get results before I know if this is good or not, if this works or not. So it's just, I think, you know, through a lot of exposure, a lot of failures, I've learned that I need to create results as quickly as possible and let the results and the data dictate if something works or not, and not my opinions, biases, or thoughts on something. And I think that has helped a lot. And the other thing is, like, I was telling this the other day, that I have this framework of, like, the power of right the fuck now, which is, like, how many things, like, how many meetings, how many calls, how many interactions do you have a day where nothing is decided and nothing is getting done? Where you just talk about what should be decided and what should get done. And eventually, like, I was doing these types of meetings for many years until I realized that any meeting I have where at the end we have even more decisions we haven't made, or you have even a longer to-do list that at the beginning of the meeting, it's just a horrible waste of energy and time. And just learning to, you know, slow things down in a meeting and go, wait, let's not decide this later. Why are we not deciding this right now? Well, we need more data. Well, last week we said we need more data. What has changed? Can we make a decision right now? Can we get this off the table? Or if I talk to somebody and they say, oh, we should email such and such, I go, can we email them right now? Let's just get it done. Let's make sure that at the end of this meeting, we took off some work from everybody's plate instead of just keep adding more and more things and wasting time just debating and discussing things. And I know that you have that sensitivity as well of, like, when we talk, how can we convert that conversation into action and results and real data versus just opinions and thoughts and more stuff to pile on to some kind of a bucket that hopefully eventually will force you to take action?
Yeah, actually, I definitely do. I hate wasting time. I'm very impatient. And, you know, I used to just frustrate myself with the impatience, but these days I just apply it to these things and I get happier. So, you know, oftentimes you're right. Like, there's a lot of debates about, like, what to do, looking for more data, when there's probably a really simple step you can take. And so it is one of the, I would say it's one of the most difficult things to cultivate. For me, it just started with just being perpetually impatient and or bored. And depending on which of those moods I'm in, I might use a different approach to taking action. Like, if I'm bored, it's just like, okay, like, I should, you know, growing up, my dad would be like, if you're bored, like, what are you doing, right? Like, that's your problem. Like, just solve it. I was an only child. And so I used to say that to him quite a bit, and he would just get pissed off. He never got pissed off, actually. But, like, I would feel like he was pissed at me, and then I would go do something about it. I do the same with my kids. Like, oh, you're bored. We're like, look, I mean, the world's your oyster. Like, figure it out. You know, like, that's a perpetual state. And so if I'm bored, it's more about causing trouble, I call it. So then I'll cause trouble. But that's a different story. And that's usually taking action or making someone else take action. And then the impatience is really where I get it from for myself, which is I'm very impatient. And I used to just feel like nothing would move fast enough, and I didn't know what to do about it. And usually for me, it's like people on, you know, it's usually in business and it's usually the teams, because I'm in my personal life, I'm actually super patient just because I just go with the flow. But in business, I'm definitely hyper impatient. And what I've done now is take that impatience and say, okay, I'm being impatient about this. Is there anything I can do? Should I direct my attention towards this problem or not, or whatever I'm being impatient about, or am I just impatient in general? What can I go impact? So I think for me, action is really about impact. And impact is really like, what can I go impact right now with the smallest baby step? And, you know, I'm in meetings a lot, you know, in my companies and others. And one of the biggest things that I learned is that people are not very impatient. People are happy to defer a decision or defer an action for later. And that is actually why I get impatient. And even my way to manage engineering, because, you know, if you're running a company, whether you like it or not, you're also managing engineering if you're a founder CEO, even if you're not, meaning even if someone else is taking care of it. That's at least how it is in all. Basically, I have three endeavors, as I call them, and they all have one engineering manager who's the head of engineering. But I'm managing that person as well as sometimes people that we work with him or her. And what ends up happening is that they always give me estimates that I hate because I'm impatient. And what I learned about myself is like, how do I get them to learn that they can take an action without having all the data? They can go do something without worrying about the full answer if that thing is such a bite-sized chunk. So if someone tells me it's going to take a day, I tell them, how can we do something in an hour that gets us closer to the goal or closer to it being done or closer to the customer, right? So you have to have some end goal in mind. And in some way to kick people out of this inaction is at least what I've learned. So maybe that's my tip, which is you can't take action. You can't have a bias for action unless you know what the actual goal is and what you're trying to do.
Yeah, I love it. All right. So I think piling onto that, like kind of you need to know where you need to go.
Ooh, you need to know where you need to go. Done, dude. That rhymes too. Good one.
It rhymes. I didn't even know as I was saying it.
Yeah.
So I love that. I think that to me, it comes down to, you know, I'm a big quote guy, and it comes down to this quote from Albert Einstein is one of my favorites, which is like, nothing in the universe happens until something moves. I mm-hmm. kind of feel like, you know, being alive, part of my responsibility, you know, is to make something move forward. To make a difference in the universe means to move things forward, right? To move things forward, the only way to really truly do that is to take some kind of an action, to make decisions, to help things get accomplished, get done. So every day, like I just feel this responsibility. How can, you know, once you know where things need to go or where you want to go, is, you know, taking the responsibility to get there and get them there and help other people get there. The way to do that is just to take more action faster, sooner, more decisively. Not be afraid of any mistakes along the way, not be afraid of any negative results or feedback, because that's going to, That should speed you up even more, because it means learning and the ability to adjust versus slowing you down. Yeah, and if you take on that responsibility, I feel like you'll, in every meeting, in every conversation, every single day, you'll try to ask yourself, how can I help move the universe forward? And doing so by taking action. So I think that's it from us for this episode.
Yep. Later. Take some action.
Take action right now. All right. Bye-bye.